This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, good afternoon there, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's a beautiful day out there.
Oh, 72.
Yeah. And it's a little bit of wind, a little bit of breeze. You know, it's just right.
Yeah.
Perfect. If we could have 100 days like that in a row, it'd be perfect.
Oh.
But it won't.
It'd be overpopulated, though. Yeah, you know, people start wanting to move up.
Oh, come on, let's go there, man.
Yeah. Oregon's got good weather.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, I'm not from Wintergreen Nursery Florist.
That's right.
Landscaping anymore. I am a retired former nurseryman, but I still have a landscaper's license, and I'm still bonded, and I still do consultations and design, so, which is not related to the old business.
Have you mentioned that to our boss here, Kyle?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I should mention that to him.
Yeah, he can get that changed.
Remind me when I leave here,
okay? Okay.
But anyway, thank you for listening, and this is a program to hopefully educate, enlighten, and answer questions. So if you have a question, 673-4464 is the number to call, and you can ask your question, and we'll do it, and we'll get it done. And anyway, thank you for listening. And last week, we had six calls.
Yeah.
And now, that's, you know, you might say, well, big deal, six calls. It almost took the whole hour to get the six calls in, for crying
out. No, we love it.
Yeah.
We love it.
And the record is seven calls.
Oh.
that was, you know, quite a few years ago, though. My voice is a little funny because, I don't know, I've lost, I got a whatever kind of throat thing, I'm not sure, but so put up with it. I'll keep talking.
And you sound like our president.
Oh, stop. Jeez Louise, don't you do that. Step outside, young man. Anyway, May is a very funny month, and I don't mean hilarious, I mean strange. You know, like just a week ago or so, right around there, the temperature was hitting in the 90s. You went a few days like that. And this week, we've seen, you know, high 60s and maybe low to mid 70s. But it's been a bit cooler, you know, from 90 to 70. Yeah, that's a drop. And a question that comes to a lot of folks is, should I plant my veggies now or wait for another week till it gets up to 90 again? No. Don't wait. I believe that we won't have any more freezing temps, and that's the thing that you have to be alerted to is if it's going to freeze, you know, hold off on the planting. But, you know, it's been 40, 41 at night, somewhere in there. So go ahead and plant. Get your things in the ground. The plants will grow, but they'll be slow a little bit for a while until they root in. And we get more into the 80s, you know, 80, 85. That's perfect garden weather, by the way. It's nice to work in. And the plants are going, yeah, we like this. This is good. So if you have a small garden space and your desire is to have a lot of vegetables, think about growing your veggies and growing them vertically, you know, like up and down. And how do you do that? Excuse me, but I got a sore throat. Yeah. But
I'll go get you some cough drops.
Okay, that'll be fine. But, you know, try growing some of them up instead of let them spread all over the ground. And you can do this with a wooden trellis or a wire cage, and that'll keep them from spreading. And they'll climb up in there, and then you can pick tomatoes or whatever is growing in there. You can pick them, and they're not on the ground. They're clean, dirt-free. Yeah, dirt-free. And it's a space saver as well. It's not spread all over. It's just in one excuse me, central location, and it makes more room for your garden. You can plant more things. And, of course, it's going to be hard to do with watermelons, but there are a few plants that will work. For instance, pole beans. If you like pole beans, well, get a pole. Put the beans down there. It'll crawl up that pole, or string a couple of lines between three or four poles, and you can have them all over those lines. Peas will work that way, and even cucumbers, if you don't let them get too big and gangly and weighty. and then summer squash, the smaller squash. Excuse me, gee whiz. But tomatoes, of course, will do well in a round wire cage, you know. They won't flop around. Oftentimes, and I've had this happen to me, is I didn't use cages, so I thought, well, shoot, they'll grow fine. But then they get so, you know, tall, maybe 2.5 to 3 feet, and they get all of a sudden they get these huge tomatoes on there, and they kind of fall over and lean a little bit. They don't fall all the way onto the ground, but they're leaning into other things. So if you put them in a wire cage, can be just fence wire or even a couple of, say, three wooden stakes and some string, for crying out loud, wrapped around the stakes, just to confine the plant from falling over. And that's a good thing. And again, you've got a lot more space in which to plant. But like I say, it'd be hard for watermelons because they get a little bit big, a little bit heavy. But, you know, the stuff that's the plants and the vegetables that are small and like to crawl around and creep around, they'll do well in that cage or on that trellis. You know, growing this way, of course, like I said, save space and you can grow more items in that small area that, you know, maybe you have a garden that's maybe 10 by 10 or 10 by 15 because it's, you have a small yard. Well, you can grow a whole lot more veggies in that space by doing these kinds of things. And this also, the staking or the growing upright of a lot of these vegetables, it also reduces disease. Because there's air circulation and insects, again, sunlight and that kind of thing. And it's easy harvesting, and it's clean, and it's straight, and the vegetables are right there visible, and it looks good.
Nice.
So, and then, like I say, if you have any questions about any of this, 673-4464, and we can get you right on the line, and we can talk about it. But this also saves a lot of bending over, just like raised beds save a lot of bending over. Because, you know, as people age, getting down on your knees in the ground is okay. The getting down is not a problem. It's the getting up. That's the problem. So that eases the gardening process for you. And just think about your cucumbers hanging like fruit. You know, wouldn't that be cool? Be different, wouldn't it? And they'll hang too. And no bending over, no flat sides, equal ripening all the way around, and it looks very decorative. So you're landscaping your garden with your vegetables, and you're creating a Shangri-La of vegetables in the garden. Think about it that way.
Hanging pickles,
yeah. Do you grow pickles? No, you grow cucumbers and make them in pickles.
That's right.
Yeah.
Somebody asked about a cucumber or a pickle tree.
A pickle tree?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I didn't know what to say to him. I didn't know whether they were joking or serious.
So. Well, I think they have pickle trees in L.A.
L.A.?
Yeah.
Of course they do.
Yeah. But even if you think this is a weird way to garden, you'll have an increase in your edible product. And, and just think about how grapes are grown. You know, they're on trellises, on wires. They're off the ground. They get lots of sun. They get lots of air circulation and easy picking. And they do that for a purpose. If you didn't stake up the grapes, if you didn't wire them up or trellis them up, they would be fairly low to the ground, and the fruit would be on the grounds, and some of which would be, you know, no good because it's laying on the ground where animals and critters would have easy access.
Yep.
But when you trellis them, when you get them up, that's when they ripen equally. That's when the most sun can hit them. And if you've noticed, as you drive around and drive by various vineyards, you notice how hard they've been pruned. You know, at the end of the season, those grapes, they can grow 5 feet in a year, but,
easily.
Right.
Yeah.
But you'll notice, around December and January when they're out there pruning, they prune them back to the stubs. I mean, way back. And you go, how in the world, why did they do that? They're going to kill the plant. No, they don't. That plant likes that. That plant is very productive because of that. So that's, and again, if you drive around, look at some of the vineyards and see how the grapes are growing, and you'll understand more. Mm-hmm. You'll have a picture of what I'm trying to portray to you here on the air.
Yeah, my neighbors, they have some wild grapes, I think, growing on their fence.
Yeah.
And every year they cut those suckers down.
Yeah.
And they're right back up again this year, hanging, growing all along the fence.
Yeah, yeah. And they get a good crop, too, don't they?
I think so. I can't see through the fence.
Oh,
but,
I see.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's a solid fence then.
Yeah, I don't get to enjoy the fruit.
Well, you know, what you could do is get one of those branches and put it over on your side.
Yeah, just slowly bring it. Good idea.
Yeah. But one thing, I do have raised beds and trellises to make my garden work easier, quicker, and cleaner. And anytime you can reduce the labor and keep the weeds out easier and faster, that's best. I don't have to kneel in the dirt, and that makes the job easier. And raised beds keeps you from overplanting and being selective, and that's really important. Don't overplant, and I'll get to that a little bit later.
Go ahead, plant all the squash you want.
Yeah, right. 20 squash plants in there and see what happens.
Yeah.
I used to try and plant, you know, one or two of everything, and this created a lot of waste because a lot of it ripened all at the same time.
Yep.
And what do we do with this? Well, we'll eat it as fast as we can, but it's producing so, you know, quickly and just getting ripe so quickly. You go, gee whiz, and then you give it away, you still got stuff.
You still
left
got more.
Yeah, and you give it to your neighbors and say, no, we don't want any more. We got our own garden. Leave us alone. Oh, man. But just plant only what you would eat and not too many. When you do the preparation for the soil and you water properly and you have a good crop and you plant too many, you got to give them away or they get wasted because you can't eat 40 tomatoes a week. You know, I mean, I guess you could. I don't know what it'd do to you.
Oh, but, I don't want to find out.
No, I don't either. And I'm not going to describe anything either.
Yeah.
But if you need something, if you run out and if you really need something, you can always go to our fruit stands and pick out what you didn't grow. I mean, we got Cruises, we got Brosai, I don't know if we got some others. I think maybe there's some others. Then there's those Saturday markets, too.
Oh, yeah, off of Harvard.
Off of Harvard, and I've seen them out here on Diamond Lake Boulevard. And it's amazing, you know, these are home growers, and they come in and they'll have some onions or some beans or, you know, tomatoes or whatever, and you can get them for, you know, little or nothing.
And
they're good. They're fresh.
Oh, sure. Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, and most of them are, I would say, organic-oriented, you know.
99.9%.
Yeah. So, but I got around to planting only what we would eat and not too many. You know, you can only eat so many tomatoes, or you can only eat so much, squash.
Squash.
Oh, my gosh, well, squash.
I don't like it in the first place.
Well, it depends on how you prep it. I mean, how you prepare it. And if you cook it right and prepare it right and put some, I don't know, mayonnaise on it or something. Or
ketchup, butter.
Ketchup, butter, yeah. Salt and pepper, garlic salt. You know, it depends on, you know, your taste buds, I guess. But again, just plant only what you would really eat and not too many. You can always get more, so don't worry about that.
And we got to take a break.
Okay, we'll be back.
All right.
Garden stuff.
What's our phone number?
673-4464 if you have a question. Any questions, fair game.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, we're back on this nice Wednesday afternoon.
Very nice Wednesday afternoon. And if you're If you're a gardening type, this show is for you, and it'll give you some hints and some suggestions, and hopefully get you good production and without a lot of work.
That's the name of the game.
That's right. I mean, I know you got to do some work with growing plants and all that kind of thing, but you don't want to overwhelm yourself and say, this ain't worth it. I'll just go to the store and buy this stuff.
We ain't as young as we used to be.
Yeah but there's great satisfaction in growing a plant and saying, hey, man, those tomatoes are delicious, or that you know, cucumber or whatever you're growing out there. Potatoes are easy. I love to grow potatoes, man.
They kind of do it on their own.
I know. It's great. And then you pluck them out of the ground, make french fries. Love them french fries. Yeah. Fresh.
A little salt on top.
Yeah. But like I said earlier, if you're a first-time gardener, the temptation is to plant way too much. You know, you go, oh, they're little tiny plants. Yeah, then we, just put a... put a dozen of those in. Yeah, a dozen of those. Okay. Watch out, because those 10 or 11 of those dozen are going to really go real well, so don't worry about it. But this creates a lot of work and a lot of waste if you're not careful. Start small, do the right things, and as you gain experience, you can increase the number of vegetables and the different kinds of vegetables as you realize, I now I see how much room that particular plant needs to do well.
Yeah.
I know how much water it takes, and I know how much time and effort and energy that all this gardening stuff takes to get a good crop. So and you know, there are so many kinds of vegetables anymore, and they're just stuff I never heard of, you know, that are out there. And where's that from?
China.
China, Ethiopia, or, you know, somewhere. But over the years, I've learned many lessons on the size of gardens and the number of plants to plant, and to only plant those that you'll actually eat. That's a big one. And learn how to properly store the excess if you have a little bit extra left over, which I always have. And one good lesson is to get good advice from a neighbor who's got a successful garden, or even go to one of our commercial fruit stands and say, hey, I want to have a little garden at my place. I'm going to buy some stuff from you, but can you tell me about this or this or that? And most farmers, 99% of the farmers, will share a whole lot of information with you and let you know what you can do or what you can't.
They're proud of it.
Yeah, right. They like to share their information. So don't be afraid to get some advice. And then there's always those colorful books at, you know.
The library?
Well, yeah, but I was thinking Home Depot.
Oh, okay.
And those places. Maybe not Home Depot. Yeah, Home Depot. They got a book rack in there. You walk in, and it's gardening, it's landscaping, it's how to build paper airplanes, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Excuse me. And they have good books with
I'm going to round up another cough drop for
you. Good, thanks. With good illustrations and, you know, before and after and how many kinds and how deep to do this and what type of soil you need. And it's all there in print. I mean, you can listen to this show and say, yeah, I remember about half of what that guy said, but I don't remember what else he said about such and such. Well, these books are good. And I've got, you know, well, probably three or four of different kinds from different publishers who, and they're all basically the same information. There's a little bit of difference in them, and some of them are talking about more exotic vegetables that would grow in a hotter, warmer climate, say Phoenix, Arizona, or Mexico, or San Diego, or something like that. But you know, they also a lot of the books pertains simply to the Pacific Northwest, because this, you know, this is our climate. Our climate is different than the others. Thank you. You gave me another cough drop. So another idea that you might consider is to add color spots in amongst your vegetables. Color spots like flowers, you know, flowers for color, and flowers to entice pollinators to increase your yield. And when the pollinators come, They pollinate, but they'll sometimes eat a lot of the harmful insects that invade your tomato plants or your cucumbers or whatever. They'll get right down there and do your organic cleansing for you. No sprays or anything. You don't have to pay them. They're good to go. But flowers, any kind of flower, but I've listed a few here. Petunias. Nothing can beat a petunia for color and all that. Geraniums. Marigolds. Marigolds are they can add a lot of color very quickly and give you the best landscaped vegetable garden in your neighborhood, for crying out loud. But if you interplant these, you could have a row of tomatoes and a row of marigolds. So you could have a row of whatever vegetable, and every other plant could be a marigold plant. And not only is it colorful, but it's healthy. It's healthy for the garden. It's copacetic. It works. But with these types of flowers, there is no special care needed. They don't require anything more than what you do in your garden. They're not sissy flowers. They're flowers that are tough. They bloom a long time. They look good, and they'll take the same kind of care as your tomatoes or your cucumbers or your whatever you've got in that garden going. So with these types of flowers, watering and fertilizing is identical, like I say, to that which you give your veggies. And this is called companion planting. The first rule in adding flowers to the garden is to plant in clumps rather than single plants. You know, when you go to one of the garden centers out there, they'll have these little six packs of petunias or six packs of marigolds or whatever flower there is. Well, you can take one of those out and plant it. That's one way of doing it. Or you can buy, say, a one-gallon can size of multiple stems in the same pot. That's the best way to do it, because they're going to have a good root system, and you put them in that good ground, and they're going to grow really well, and they're going to grow really fast. The smaller single plants, they will grow eventually, and they'll get up to size. But they are still very small, very fragile, and the root systems are not really super large. So there's going to be some problems along the way. So spend a few extra bucks, get some bigger plants, and just kind of place them in strategic areas, on the corners, in the middle, whatever. Just get them in there, and they'll do good. Survival, survival is better with the bigger plants, and gives a lot more color right from the start. Sunflowers, you know, these great big old sunflowers can be a spectacular show, and the seeds are edible. You know, you got the I planted sunflowers among my corn one year, and I put, there'd be about 10-15 corn plants, and then a big sunflower, and then another 10-15 corn plants, another sunflower. I mean, it was really cool looking.
It was.
It was good. And they all grow about the same height, big.
Oh, yeah.
You know, tall.
They reach to the sun.
Yeah, they reach to the sun, yeah. But they made good companions out there. Mm-hmm. But sunflowers are spectacular, and the seeds are edible. And they're strong enough to support a vining type of vegetable, like string beans or squash or some cucumbers. In other words, if you planted a few sunflowers in your vegetable garden close to a string bean plant, well, the string bean likes to climb up stuff. Well, the stalk of the sunflower is so big and heavy and thick and sturdy that string bean can climb up. You don't have to have a stake. You got a natural stake. So it just climbs right up and takes care of itself.
Reminds me of something else.
Yeah.
That Chinese vine I have.
Yeah, your vine would do well. So put a sunflower in there so it can climb up.
Climb up it.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. But sunflowers are going to attract insects that dine on cucumber beetles, for instance. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. Keep the sunflowers away from potatoes, or they will inhibit their growth. I don't know why. There was no explanation, but that's what one of the books I was reading said. You can use sunflowers in your garden, but just don't put them near the potatoes.
Maybe it's their root system.
I don't know. They gave no clue in the article.
They just said that and let on.
Let me hanging, man. I was like, why? Tell me why. Then if you get some zinnias, for instance.
What are those?
They're flowers, man.
Oh, okay.
Flowers, little zinnias. But hummingbirds are attracted to zinnias. And any, you have a garden full of hummingbirds. I was going to say honeybirds, but they're not. They're hummingbirds.
Humming.
You know, and we got dozens of them around our place all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And they do that. And any flower you're going to plant is always going to invite some unwanted bugs.
Oh, yeah.
But the bees can take care of them dudes.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They'll get them out of the way because they're competition for the nectar or the pollen that are in some of these flowers, and the bees are not going to put up with it. They're going to kill that other dude and get him out of the way.
Yeah. Nice.
There's a balance of power there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I mentioned marigolds earlier. And they're hardy, very hardy, easy to grow, and they repel pests. They repel pests like slugs, cabbage moths, bean beetles. I don't know what a bean beetle is. I've never seen a bean beetle. Here's another one. It's called tomato hornworms.
I'm not even going there.
I wouldn't either, but that's what the article said. Tomato hornworms. I've never heard of a tomato hornworm. But marigolds are called a neutral companion plant and does no harm to your veggies. It protects your veggies. It creates a place, like I say, for pollinators to come, but it wards off the bad guys. And there's a safe, organic way to keep the bug population at bay.
And keep it rolling.
Yeah, nice. Keep it rolling.
Well,
how are we doing on time?
Well, it's a break time. It's break time.
Oh.
All right. What's our phone number, Mike?
673-4464. Give us a call.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. Here we are. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, and we need you to call.
Yeah, 673-4464. Any question? Gardens, landscaping, trees, shrubs, how do I prune, when do I prune, how do I prune, all those kinds of things. But right today, we're talking about vegetable gardens because this is like the prime season for planting vegetable gardens. And I know there are some that are already in. I went by Brosai Orchards this morning. I like to come that way because it's no traffic on that little windy road. And he had a whole couple acres of brand new plants in. He's been planting for the last month and a half.
But wow.
There was this one area that was nothing in. He finally tilled it all up. And
there
was a little tiny, it looked like squash or something. It had a big leaf. But the plants were only about 3-4 inches tall. I was doing 30 miles an hour. So it was hard to identify them right off the bat there. So, but again, I want to remind you that you don't have to plant all your veggies on the same day. You can scatter them out. For instance, space out your, I pick on tomatoes all the time, but for instance, space out your tomatoes, say a week or so, plant three of them this week, say, and then wait a week and then plant three more. And then maybe if you're going to have more tomatoes, wait another week, plant three more. So they all don't come ripe at the same time or close to the same time.
Yeah.
And because, our season here lasts till November for crying out, it doesn't really get cold till about November. October is usually a pretty nice month.
Normally.
And watch this year, it'll snow in October.
Yeah.
But
the old Columbus Day storm returns.
Oh, yeah. But, they're all not ripening at the same time. And that's, I've made that mistake. I know when you plant 6 or 12 tomato plants on the same day and they all start getting ripe, what do I do with all these tomatoes? We got a shopping bag full of them, Marianne. What do we do? Well, there's tomato soup, tomato paste. you eat the tomatoes, just pick them up and eat them and put salt on them. But you still got two shopping bags full, and you got to go out and pick out some more. What for? And your neighbors don't want any because they made the same mistake. I got too many tomatoes. What do I do with them? Well, there's probably organizations around here, like the Mission and other places that will take them for food, and that's good if that's what
you can always can them, too, if you like.
Yeah, can them, juice them. I don't know how to do that, but I'm sure there are some people that know how all that goes
together. I don't know how to make ketchup out of them, but they say that comes from a tomato ketchup.
Yeah, they say that.
Yeah, along with corn syrup and
a few other ingredients.
Yes.
But our climate has a relatively long growing season, and you could plant veggies in August or September and still have a crop in October,
Yeah.
I've done it. I know it works. And in most years, if you own a fruit stand, all bets are off, okay? If you own a fruit stand, they have tomatoes. When do they close down usually? Like close to Thanksgiving, for crying out loud, I think.
Yeah, some of them,
yeah. I've been to Brosai and Cruises both. They got the pumpkins out, and so you're at the end of October, and they still got vegetables in there. They still got fresh vegetables. So
nice. Grandpa's pumpkin patch.
Yeah, right.
So now I just put in a plug for somebody up north.
Oh, good. Where's it located? What's the address?
Yeah, just outside of Sayo.
Oh, that's close. Gosh, but I've had tomatoes ripening in November before it gets too cold, and we have, like I say, a nice long growing season most years. And when the gardening season is over and before the rain hits, you know what would be a good idea? Till up your garden. Get it all tilled before it gets muddy and mucky. And then after it's all tilled, smooth it out. You're almost ready for next season, but you don't have to mess with it.
Yeah.
And put maybe 2 or 3 inches of old bark mulch or old sawdust on the top and let it set until next spring. And you do a light tilling in the spring, and you're ready to go.
You're ready to walk.
You got all that organic material. And you can also put, you got trees in your yard and the leaves drop. What do? You rake them up, bag them up, and throw them away? Why? Don't throw them away. You put them on your garden. Let them rot over the winter. Let them break down. And then when you do till it up in the spring, that's all organic food for the soil and whatever you plant in there. So it's good.
And it's all free.
Yeah, it's all free. And you're not being charged to, or somebody, doing it for you and charging to do that. So, but if you do that every year and you're adding good compost and nutrition for the next year, in 3 or 4 or 5 years, you could plant a toothpick and then grow into a tree, for crying out loud. It's good. But by composting with natural ingredients, very little commercial fertilizer is needed for good growth. People say, well, how often should I fertilize this? Or how? Well, if you've never done it before, you have to be real careful because fertilizers, if you put a little too much, it'll burn. Burn that plant up real quick.
Wow.
Yeah. And you can tell because the leaves turn brown, they shrivel up and drop to the ground.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm on fire, baby.
Yeah, exactly. But a little story about when I got out of the Marine Corps and came back to Oregon the following spring, we lived up on Leland Street, and we had a small backyard, and my wife wanted a garden. Okay, so I didn't have any tools at that time. I was going to Umpqua College, and I didn't have any tools, but I borrowed or rented a tiller and tilled up the backyard. Was probably the flat part of the backyard was probably 30 feet long and 15, 18 feet wide, and flat, but it was pure clay and full of weeds and everything else.
Of course it was.
Yeah, but when you finally got it all tilled up, it was beautiful. And it took about, 2 or 3 tillings. The first one, you're kind of breaking up the big chunks. And then you wait a week and it gets a little drier. And you till it up a couple more times and bingo. And there's my wife buying all these seeds and getting this done. And she had this and this and this and that. She had the whole place full. And I'm thinking, we didn't have any. We had one child at that time. What are we gonna do with all this stuff if it grows?
Well, yeah,
we gave a lot of it away, but but we did eat some. But she had two or three rows of corn in there.
Wow.
And, yeah. And, of course, she planted them too close together and all that, but that's okay. And
you're going to be in trouble.
I know. She doesn't listen to me. She says, I know everything you said. Well, I don't need to hear you again on the radio. But I was in one of the, I don't know what store it was here locally, and I saw this rack of seeds, and I saw this one pack. It said, giant corn seeds. And I read the label and said, these things get 12 to 14 feet tall and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, how cool. It's funny. So I took them home. I didn't tell her.
Oh.
I planted a whole row of this stuff right down the middle of her corn patch. And I didn't tell her. And they everything all pops up. And her little guys are up there. And then my little guys pop up. And within about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, my row was about 4 feet tall. Her row was about 18 inches tall. And they're looking like trees, man. And she's scratching her head and saying, I don't understand why that one row was. Hey, I don't know.
I'm innocent.
But as my friends came over, I told them about the secret, and they laugh. Don't tell Marianne, okay? Don't tell Marianne. Well, by the end of the growing season, these giant corn plants were 12 to 14 feet tall.
Jeez.
Which was about twice the size of the
normal.
The normal ones. And she was just, she couldn't believe it. What happened here?
Oh,
I don't know. You must have taken good care of them or something. I'm not sure. And all my friends knew, a few buddies from school. And we'd get out in the backyard, and they'd start laughing one day. And she's looking at them and saying, what are you laughing about? And they couldn't stop. They were almost falling on the ground. They were laughing so hard. And I had to confess.
Oh, no.
I said, well, I interplanted a row of giant corn seeds for you just as a joke to see. And she took it good.
Oh, did she?
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to say you got smacked.
No, she wouldn't do that. She wouldn't smack me. But that was a very successful garden. This was an older home. And I've told you stories about how it looked when we first moved in.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't see the house because of the rose bushes growing over the top. But it was great soil, even though it was, you know, mostly clay. But the folks that lived there, they worked the soil. They planted a lot of stuff, but they had gardens there. And, you know, so anything would grow. I mean, anything. I mean, you throw a bolt in there and a bolt would come up, a bolt of trees would come up. That's how good the stuff was.
Yeah.
But and that's why everything in that yard was growing. You know, the rose hedge was 8 feet tall, and the the shrubs that would normally, you know, get 6 feet were 10, those kinds of things. Well, I finally learned how to prune them correctly, and so I chopped them, and it took me, I think, 2 years just to get the yard. It was so overgrown, it took 2 years to get it in shape.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's why I tell people, don't plant things so close. Don't plant too many of them. You'll be sorry.
It ain't necessary.
No, it ain't necessary. It's better if you just have fewer amounts. What do you got, your trigger on the finger?
Yeah, we're going into a break, but before we do, I got a joke for you.
Okay.
Why can't you trust a burrito?
I have no idea.
Because it'll spill the beans.
Oh, God.
All right. We better move on after that one.
You better move on.
The News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back.
Yes.
And our phone number.
673-4464.
No excuse not to call now.
Yeah, no, we're running out of time quickly here.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But the reason I'm stressing so much on gardens and stuff, if you... you know, you all go to the grocery store and you look at the prices, and you know, there's always some shortage of one thing that you might have wanted, and they didn't get it,
or you can't afford it.
You can't afford it, right? Gardens are good for a lot of reasons. It'll supplement your income. We got a call.
We do have a phone call.
Okay.
Hey there, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, Mike. This is Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Yeah. Hey, I got a question for you on fruit trees.
Yes, sir.
I got a couple of cherry trees, and I got pretty well wiped out with this, cherry fly type thing they have.
What's
the best thing to use to try to spray to try to get rid of those things so I have a crop this year?
No, I didn't quite get what you said you had.
Okay, I got some cherry trees.
Yeah, I know, but what's
cherry flies, I think he said.
Oh, flies.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Well, you know.
Yeah, there's some type of moth or fly that lays eggs on the cherries, and I get a bunch of worms inside the cherries.
Right.
I don't know the official name of the pest.
Okay. Well, if you go to the co-op, are you in Roseburg or Winston or where?
Roseburg, you actually know me, Mike. This is Steve Andrick with Preppers Pools.
Okay. Why don't you go to the co-op, and they'll have probably five different types of sprays that you can choose from. Read the labels, and it'll give you a pretty good education on what that particular spray will do. And are they leafed out yet?
The trees, yeah, a long time ago. Okay. The fruit's already developing.
Okay. Well, it would have been better, but you didn't know until they leafed out. But look at the ingredients and read the ingredients and get the one that seems most doable for you. And go ahead and spray them. And usually you spray at least twice, maybe three times, and see if that won't help you. And there's a guy by the name of Mark who is really good, and he's helped me over the years and pointed me in the right direction. So try that. That's your best bet, because there's so many varieties on the market. I don't remember them all, but and I try to stay away from that spraying as much as possible.
Yeah, I asked one of the guys that has a regular commercial orchards what he uses. He said, I could tell you, but you need an applicator's license to buy it, so that shut that down. Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you buy it at the co-op, you don't need an applicator's license.
Yeah.
Right.
For the stuff that's really good, yeah.
Yeah, the good stuff.
Oh, okay. I'll go look for Mark sometime here in the near future and see if we get that.
And that's the co-op here in Roseburg.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know Mark, yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call.
Yeah. All righty. Okay, we still have a couple of minutes yet to take another phone call. A
couple of minutes for another phone call, 673-4464. And like I started to say earlier, I'm really stressing vegetable gardens and growing your own food simply because of the things that have happened in the last year to 18 months with supply shortages and different commodities that we can't buy.
Right.
And if you can grow some of your own food and take the pressure off the marketplace and maybe go to the garden guys? They have the...
I'm drawing a blank.
Well, the people that have the booths, and they'll have all kinds of stuff.
Farmers markets?
Farmers markets, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't think of that. My mind went wham.
And we mentioned it earlier.
I know. I said it. I was thinking, I just mentioned that earlier. But, you know, they always have good organically grown stuff, because most of them are in that time warp.
Mm-hmm. But, some of them have that raw, unpasteurized milk. I love that.
Do you?
Yeah. Mm. The best.
It's got big chunks.
Yeah, I love it.
You got to chew them.
Yeah. Here, we got another phone call.
Okay.
Hey there, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, Mike. Hey, I do want to encourage people to shop local only. Get your stuff locally for sure at the farmers market or local farms or whatever. But I wondered if you knew anything about this new product called Appeal.
Appeal?
Have you heard of that yet? It's what they are putting on vegetables to make them shiny, and they don't rot. And do you know anything about it? I think it's APPEAL, appeal. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't. Where did you hear about it?
Oh, it's been on the market, and it's, you know, the commercial stuff's being sprayed with it. Mm-hmm. So you might want to just do a little research on it, but and maybe your audience might want to look at that too. So okay. Try to get local, because I know locally they're not spraying with appeal.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna look for it and see if I can't find it and read up on it, and maybe I'll have an answer for you next week. How's that?
All right. Well, you have a good afternoon.
Well, thank you for the call.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Doesn't sound good. I don't know.
No, appeal, huh?
Appeal. I don't know anything about it. I never heard of it, so I can't say.
I never heard of it either. But yeah. Is it just a product that makes it look good, but
look
it really
good.
Doesn't?
Yeah, like apples make them shinier.
Make them shiny. Or
it's like a wax or something.
Could be. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, let's get all these people with appeal, okay?
It may appeal to them.
Yes, it may. Well, I hope I helped anybody listening today with this planting a garden. Gardens are good. They're fun. They're a little bit of work, but if you do it right and think about it, you can be very successful, and it's not a big stress and strain kind of deal. So thank you for listening, and I'll see you next week.
And have a burrito on me.
Yeah, I have a burrito on me. Okay. Bye-bye.
Hey, the Afternoon Report is next. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.